and welcome to the Brothers Mysterium bonus content. And this is the companion episode, if you will, to the previous bonus episode, all about skepticism. Eric and I kind of discussed, debated, shared some stories of the importance of healthy skepticism, what it means to be a skeptic, and we thought a cool addition to that discussion, debate, would be to sit down with two people who have healthy skepticism, or maybe just darn right skepticism, and kind of share their thoughts, their philosophies, their opinions, to cover both sides of the coin. We always try to be balanced. We have tons of guests on who obviously are believers and have experienced things and believe what they witnessed or went through was true. So this was a rare opportunity to let people with healthy skepticism or complete skepticism kind of share their thoughts and beliefs as well and take that into account. So Eric and I both sat down with someone and interviewed them. I started with someone who we will call Bird, and Bird was not only our most censored guest of all time, but pretty entertaining. Whether or not you agree with his feelings or opinions, he did bring up some interesting points. So here's my discussion with Bird.
The Brothers Mysterio.
All right. So what are your thoughts on ghosts? Do they exist?
No, they absolutely don't exist.
Why do you say that?
Well, if ghosts exist, that means like angels and demons and all that exist. And does that mean they're always around? Like watching you masturbate, watching you have sex, that's weird. Once you start down that path, you can never go back. Then you're constantly like, I'm taking a piss in front of a ghost every single day.
So in your mind, when you die, what happens?
You die. You're just dead.
Just nothingness?
No, it's all part of the process. You know, like you're around, you eat animals, they die, you go into the dirt, you decompose, you become grass, animals eat the grass, other people eat the animals, they eat the grass. That's how it is.
So how do you respond to like people that will say like, oh, I saw a ghost or a ghost moved this beer? What do you think that could be?
No, well, nothing moved the beer. I think it's weird to think that even if ghosts did exist, that they can grab tangible objects and move them from one place to another is kind of a bullshit concept. They're supposed to be like able to walk through walls and all of a sudden they can, you know, like Swayze it and all of a sudden grab onto something and move it across the room. Like, give me a break.
So safe to say you're a skeptic.
It's safe to say that everyone else is an idiot.
Fair enough. And what are your thoughts on, like, theories of, like, some people say, like, when you die, you become a ghost, but other people say, like, energy can't be destroyed, you know, so when you die, the energy of your body moves into something else, and they're saying maybe that's what's manifesting itself, that's why people are always seeing things.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, because when you die, your energy doesn't die. It then converts into breaking down your organism and your body into dirt, which then transfers into growing plants and animals and all that.
Oh, so you're saying your energy doesn't...
No, it just doesn't disappear. It gets converted into something else. So that is actually exactly what physics says.
So it just takes on a new form, which is your decomposed body, which is then...
Right.
And... what are your thoughts on, like, people that say, for example, go to mediums, things like that, and then say, like, oh, I'm getting, you know, your grandmother's coming through, telling you this. What are your thoughts on that if you don't believe in ghosts?
Well, all of them are crooks and complete criminals that have microphones in the hallways and stuff like that and find out more about you, fill out questionnaires before you get there. And they're like, oh, I'm thinking of someone with a T name. You're like, oh, my brother-in-law that died 15 years ago is named Tom or Tim or some other shit. He's like, oh, yeah, he says what's up. And you're like, oh, my God, that's totally what Tim would say. Like, that's stupid.
So they're more con men.
Yeah, they're totally con men.
And people who say, for example, like, you know, their grandmother died and came back and visited them or something like that, I always wonder, like, how come your grandma came back but, like, your grandfather didn't? Like, you know what I mean? There's sort of an inconsistency in what ghosts come back to people and stuff like that. Wouldn't you agree?
So your grandmother died 15 years ago, and she can do whatever she wants, and she decides to show up in your bedroom at 2 a.m. to scare the crap out of you to say hi instead of going anywhere else in the world. Maybe when you're, like, if I was dead, be like, oh, wow, I've never seen the Taj Mahal. Let me go there. Actually, I met my nephew Billy once. Let me go out and scare the crap out of him so he shits his his pants and always thinks it goes to the next, like, 40 years. That's a stupid concept. I'd spend the rest of eternity traveling around and seeing every part of the world possible besides seeing this stupid child in his bedroom for 15 seconds.
Now, that's interesting, too, because I always think about that, too. I call it, like, the motives of a ghost. And it's like, if I died, I wouldn't then be like, I'm going to show up at midnight and, you know, put a handprint on the mirror or scare people. I would either do that as, like, a joke, because that's, like, my personality, or I would do cooler stuff, like you said.
Well, yeah, you totally got to do cooler stuff. If you're going to, like, play stupid jokes, you might as well be putting, like, saran wrap over their toilet and be like, oh, man, my grandfather was here. I totally just myself.
So in your state of mind, you would say 100% you do not believe in ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Ghosts, angels, demons, all that is bullshit. All that is something that you possibly perceive that allows your mind to draw conclusions that aren't there. And as soon as you find skepticism in one part of it, it shatters the glass and you're like, oh wait, I think there might be something here. Like, no, it was actually the wind. Or no, it's just my paranoia. Or it's anything else besides a supernatural being that you can't explain because it's bullshit.
Right, and a lot of times people definitely go for, like, the easy explanation, which is just, like, it can't be explained, it was a ghost.
Right, which people have been doing for thousands of years.
Now, branching off that, what do you think about other things, like, for example, psychics, not mediums, psychics that can predict the future and stuff like that? What are your thoughts on that capability?
Bullshit.
And,
you know,
we'll expand,
I can expand on that even the greater theme of, like, God spoke to me. He spoke to me. You guys weren't around to do it, and it was 2,000 years ago that he spoke to me, and you can't believe anything else. Or he told me that I have to go over here and dig a bunch of stuff that I actually buried 3 days ago, but he told me to dig there and it was there, so he obviously was around to do it. Like,
right.
All that is just complete bullshit. If any of that was existed, why wouldn't he just show himself? Because that's faith and you have to believe, and it's bullshit.
Aliens, could they exist? What about abductions? What are your thoughts?
100% I believe that aliens do exist. Do I believe they've ever been to this planet? 100% no. Because I think it would be very naive to think that in all of the universe and the thousands of galaxies that are around, that we are the only beings.
Right.
Because I don't believe that God created this planet or anything. I totally believe in science, Big Bang, that we are here as a result of many, many mistakes that caused one thing after another that led us to be here. And I think it would be very naive to think that we're the only people that did that.
Right.
But do I think that they are abducting people? I think it would be a very bad policy on them to only abduct the dumbest, fattest, stupidest people in this country. Because you're exactly right. Like, why wouldn't you abduct the President of the United States and then all of a sudden do it? Or why wouldn't you show yourself? Or they need to, like, run around in the background to, like, test out how smart we are. They obviously would think that we're f***ing idiots. So why wouldn't they just come out and they don't need to run in the background to know that we're f***ing morons.
And now, what are your thoughts then, expanding on that, into cryptozoology, the idea that maybe there's, like, a Bigfoot-type creature or something like that that could possibly exist?
Totally believe that there are creatures on this planet that we have yet to discover. I don't think it's necessarily, like, Nessie the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. I don't think those are around. Just because I don't think they have enough hiding space anymore, because we are just destroying this planet at an alarming rate.
That is true.
But I do think that there are other things, like different flowers, like orchids I have here in the corner, they have over 100 different species of them, stuff like that, or small geckos or flies or other things like that. I think totally can exist in parts of the world that we haven't been able to fully explore. But do I think that Bigfoot is roaming around in Washington? I don't think so.
Right.
And there's way too many people out there trying to pretend to do Yeti calls and acting like morons to pull that one off.
And that's a huge problem, I think, with every topic we've discussed, is that there's so many, like, fakers and frauds out there, or just, like, dumb people that are like, I saw this, that they sort of ruin it. So if anybody actually did see anything real, so many other people have sort of ruined the whole concept that you can't believe them anyway.
Absolutely, because at the point where there ever is aliens that come to this planet, the first three people are going to be seen as complete wackos, and I would tend to agree with them and be like, yeah, this guy's obviously a f***ing idiot, because the 7,000 people that came before him were all idiots and had probably about 6-7 teeth between all of them.
The Brothers Mysterio.
And now we'll flip it over to Eric, who had a discussion with Ralph, who you might remember was featured on our sleep paralysis episode, and him and Ralph had a discussion on what it meant to be a skeptic.
The Brothers Mysterio.
There's definitely been times where I've been slightly too open-minded.
Yeah. But I have
always tried to maintain a balance of skepticism and being open-minded. I think it's a good way to go about life because, you know, we know some things about reality and consciousness in ourselves, but I think there's also a lot that we don't know. And if you're completely skeptical and closed-minded, then you're selling yourself short on opportunity and growth and potential for evolution and just experience, you know. And if you're too open-minded, then, you know, I think you make yourself vulnerable, and you can start believing things that aren't real or true.
Yeah.
I think one thing in particular to look out for, I mean, this can apply to, you know, things that are completely unrelated to supernatural, is people who have an agenda. So people who have an agenda, you know, usually people are trying to make money off of something. That doesn't necessarily discredit them, but you should be definitely maintain skepticism with anything that they're trying to tell you or sell you or anything like that. And again, like I said, that doesn't necessarily discredit them because everybody has to make a living, right?
Right, absolutely, yeah.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with selling something and, you know, selling a message or whatever, anything like that, but you should definitely maintain skepticism.
Yeah.
But again, it's all about a balance, you know, between the
right,
two.
Right, right. Go ahead.
Which again, I think, you know, like you mentioned, I think most people fall on complete extremes of either being completely closed-minded or completely skeptical. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I don't want to try and make a blanket statement and say that people are either completely open-minded or completely skeptical. But right. I do think it is rare that you meet people who are a balance of the two in all situations and experiences, you know?
Right.
Like, you can meet somebody who will be open-minded, let's say spiritually, you know, mm-hmm. and about the New Age and all that you were just talking about. But when it comes to, like, science, they might be completely skeptical, right?
Right, absolutely.
Like, you see that a lot in, like, the alternative health world, like, people are completely skeptical about conventional medicine. And that's okay. That's something that I've experienced and I can be guilty of, is, you know, I had this initial, once I started learning more about alternative medicine and alternative health and all of that, I became completely skeptical about conventional medicine because it does have its shortcomings, right?
Yeah.
But it does have its things that it's good at. And so there was a period where I was like, oh, fuck all conventional medicine. It's all bullshit. It's all wrong. But, you know, now, you know, I've reached a point where it's okay. There's things that can be learned from the world of alternative health. There's things that can be learned from the world of conventional medicine. Right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's like, like if you have like a common cold, you don't have to go chugging ounces and ounces of NyQuil. There's other ways to deal with it. But if you have a brain tumor that's going to kill you within a couple of days, you might need something a little stronger, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They each have their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Something I thought of, and we never actually really talked about this looking back, but we were both kind of big into the whole 2012 thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I know I fell for like a lot of the hype about like 2012 and all the things that were going to happen. And I mean, that date pretty much came and went. I mean, I've obviously grown since then, but that could be just natural growth that took place over the past 3 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like anything super significant happens. But I remember, like, you know, you and I always talk about like Mayan ruins and like planetary yeah. center and
yeah,
this and that. And looking back, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think looking back, part of it is boredom, and part of it is that it's just fun to talk about things like that. You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you look at throughout history, there's always, like, people that are talking about the apocalypse and all these, like, big things that are happening, right?
Right.
And, yeah, obviously, you know, nothing significant happened in 2012, but, you know, the world is constantly going through change and there's constant evolution, and I think the world does seem to be in an interesting place. You know, I wouldn't say that 2012 was this milestone of, you know, what it was hyped up to be. But I think things are changing. You know, like I said, they're always changing.
Right. But, and I think that's kind of like the lesson there in terms of like learning to discern like BS. Like, and like you said, like the world is always changing. And I feel like the lesson I learned from that whole thing is that you shouldn't look to the future for this one cosmic moment to which everything moves. You should realize that the world is like a dynamic, constantly moving thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get on board with that idea rather than like whimsically dreaming away to the future when, you know, there's just this one moment that's coming. You know, you gotta be in the now, kind of. That's what I took away from all that.
Yeah, definitely. And there's another lesson here that's kind of related. Is, you know, I've been reading a lot of like self-development and all of that sort of stuff. And one thing this guy Ty Lopez talks about is how in the media and in film and, you know, movies and all of that, there's, in a lot of movies, it's like this like normal dude or this normal person that's just going about their daily lives, and then like something external comes out and comes and enters their lives and completely changes who they are, and they become this like, you know, their whole life changes for the better.
Right.
But, you know, like a superhero movie, for example, you know, they'll get blasted with radiation or something nowhere.
Or even like Lord of the Rings, like Frodo's a simple dude and then this ring falls into his lap and now he's got his whole mess to deal with, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So looking at like the media, I think that's kind of somewhat of a mirror or a parallel of how people might not be where they want to be in their lives. And so they're looking forward to this, you know, big grand event, you know, like in 2012 or something like that, or like the second coming of Christ, you know, things like that, that are outside of them, that are going to come and enter their lives and create all of this positive change that they want.
Yeah. Or save them in some way.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to save them rather than doing the that they need to do on their own, you know, right now.
That's it for this bonus episode. Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBrothersMysterium. And if you really like us, you can do us a solid, rate and review us on iTunes or whatever podcast provider you use. Thanks again for listening to The Brothers Mysterium. Tell a friend, keep the Mysterium movement alive, and we'll catch you next time.